Picture your Monday morning. You walk into the office, coffee in hand, ready to contribute your best ideas. But there's a knot in your stomach because you know you'll have to code switch, dim your personality, or brace yourself for those subtle comments that make you question whether you belong. Now imagine the opposite, a workplace where your authentic self is your greatest asset, where honest disagreement strengthens rather than threatens relationships, where respect isn't earned through performance metrics, but exists as your birthright. This isn't fantasy. It's the framework that's reshaping how organizations think about culture, born from a simple admission. Even the best leadership advice falls flat when power imbalances and unconscious bias poison the well. After Silicon Valley leaders and even Barack Obama championed this approach, the question isn't whether radical respect matters, but whether we're brave enough to build it. Real respect rests on two pillars most organizations get backward. First, collaboration must trump coercion. This means dismantling systems where ego-driven decisions, bullying, or harassment flourish unchecked. Thoughtfully designed systems can contain our impulse to dominate. Second, individuality must be honored over conformity. People can't perform brilliantly while pretending to be someone else, yet organizations routinely demand this through culture-fed hiring that really means hire people like us. This excludes valuable contributors and prevents the diversity of thought that allows teams to challenge each other constructively. Unconscious biases create conformity expectations that get codified into hiring rubrics, promotion criteria, and performance reviews. Combating these patterns requires intentional system design from leaders and courageous individual action from everyone else. Calling a workplace toxic feels cathartic, but changes nothing. Breaking down that vague label into specific components transforms overwhelming problems into solvable ones. Microaggressions stem from three distinct sources requiring different responses. Bias means not meaning it, unconscious stereotypes we don't realize we hold. Prejudice means meaning it, consciously held beliefs that rationalize flawed assumptions. Bullying means being mean, deliberately using status to harm others. Consider someone wearing a safety pin signaling allyship, yet making insensitive comments about restaurant staff. When unaddressed, everyone loses. The staff who'll be complained about, bystanders who normalize the behavior, and the speaker who'll repeat the mistake elsewhere. For bias, respond with an I statement. I don't think you meant that the way it sounded to me. For prejudice, use an it statement. It is against our policy to make comments about people's bodies. For bullying, employ a you statement. What's going on for you here? This framework provides a practical roadmap matching the nature of the harm. Creating environments where people love their work isn't soft management. It's the foundation of extraordinary results. Leaders who think building fair, equitable environments distracts from getting things done have it backward. To disrupt bias effectively, focus on biases relevant to your actual team rather than company-wide training. Create three elements: a shared vocabulary for pointing out bias, like bias alert, a shared norm for responding, like thank you, I'll try not to say it again, and shared commitment to build stamina for this ongoing work. Bullying demands different tactics. Leaders have three levers: conversation, compensation, and career consequences. Start with clear private feedback. Never reward bullying behavior with raises. Compensation reflects what you value. One insidious form is bloviating BS, when someone monopolizes meetings with unfounded confidence. Research from Carnegie Mellon and Google's Project Aristocrat confirms teams succeed when everyone participates rather than when dominated by one voice. Upstanders create workplace justice by supporting those experiencing harm while giving clear feedback to those causing it. When Aileen Lee's colleague noticed executives ignoring her in a meeting, he simply suggested they switch seats. This small intervention included her in the conversation and helped the team win the deal. The nonprofit Right to Be offers five intervention strategies: direct, distract, delegate, delay, and document. The goal is calling in rather than calling out, inviting people to consider different perspectives instead of trying to convict or convince. When facing bias or bullying, choose your battles strategically. Viktor Frankl taught that you can always choose your attitude. There's a profound difference between choosing silence and being silenced. Speaking up offers 7 benefits: affirming yourself, preventing internalization of bias, helping others facing similar treatment, encouraging others to point out biases, improving relationships, helping the biased person avoid future mistakes, and improving team results. Different situations require different tactics. For conscious prejudice, use it statements to establish boundaries without engaging in unwinnable debates. When someone bullies you, their goal is upsetting you. I statements confirm they've succeeded, while ignoring doesn't work. Instead, use you statements or questions like, "What's going on for you here?" to shift the dynamic. Build support systems through positive target identification by focusing energy on supportive allies. Allow for clumsy curiosity by distinguishing genuine interest from hostility. Use humor strategically to build solidarity. Finally, resist turnabout. Fighting bias with bias only reinforces the attitudes we're trying to eliminate. Leaders must design management systems that optimize for collaboration and honor individuality. When managers have unchecked power, bias escalates to discrimination and bullying becomes harassment. Rather than seeking individual scoundrels, analyze the systems enabling harmful behavior. Since bias is often unconscious, leaders must proactively identify how it affects hiring, rewards, mentoring, and firing with the same rigor used to investigate profit decreases. Without consciously designed fair systems, 2 patterns emerge. Oblivious exclusion creates mirrortocracies, rewarding only those resembling the leader. Brutal ineffectiveness combines conformity with coercion, producing outright bullying and harassment. For equitable compensation, don't give managers unilateral pay authority. Develop transparent systems with clear salary ranges based on market research, then examine packages across demographics to identify gaps. Performance management systems perpetuate bias when disadvantaged groups get promoted more slowly, creating pay gaps beyond salary differences. While formal systems matter, informal mentoring has greater impact, yet marginalized employees receive less. Leaders should intentionally examine who they're mentoring, ensuring adequate representation. Establish appropriate physical boundaries by emphasizing consent. If you want to touch someone, even just to shake their hand, it's your responsibility to know if they are okay being touched. Implement no dating in your chain of command rules. When violations occur, demonstrate institutional courage by seeking truth and taking action. Finally, alcohol dramatically increases workplace sexual misconduct. Consider banning it entirely. Radical respect requires constant vigilance. It's a process, not a destination. When you've harmed someone, make it right. Be aware, acknowledge publicly, accept consequences, make amends, and apologize after committing to change. To overcome unconscious bias, find trusted bias busters who'll identify your patterns, question the false coherence your brain creates, recognize how small comments accumulate for others, manage your defensiveness, and persist. Changing habits takes time. Creating an exceptional work environment should be joyful. As poet Toy Derricotte wrote, "Joy is an act of resistance." When overwhelmed, return to 2 principles. Honor each colleague's individuality rather than demanding conformity, and collaborate rather than dominate. The author's early Google years demonstrated this. Stripped of traditional power, managers couldn't coerce employees. Teams increased revenue tenfold while building lasting relationships. We have practical tools: responding to bias with I statements, prejudice with it statements, bullying with you statements, and as leaders, establishing clear consequences. The revolution isn't coming. It's here, waiting for you to join it.